I was just came to mind the lovely image I got from the teaching of Thich Nhat Hanh of a glass of apple juice, and that's freshly, you know, made from the pulp of apples and poured out into a glass, and it's all cloudy. And then as the glass of apple juice sits there, the sediment, the pulp of the apple, sinks to the bottom, and there's this pure, clear apple juice. And perhaps that's one way of understanding the process of meditation. Learning what it means to be still, and seeing how much we stir ourselves up. And gradually learning how to work with that, how to stop doing that in a way. And learning how we can, in our meditation, sit down and allow ourselves to clarify, you know, and really learning what helps that and what gets in the way. And certainly I was also thinking of myself, generally it's not a straightforward process. Maybe for some people it is, but I think we go up and down, and we have a kind of zigzag path, you know, get a bit lost, come back again. Different times in our life perhaps, you know, the settled mind is a lot more accessible. Other periods in our life it feels like it's a distant memory. And we have to be very patient and understand the many, many conditions in our lives, in our hearts and minds that affect what's possible for us. So this morning I'd like to just talk a little bit about this process of samadhi, the concentration it's sometimes translated as, which in one list of the paramis is included as a parami, as a quality of mind that again helps us to live well, helps us to see clearly. So what is that? So perhaps we all have a sense of maybe a sense of what happens when we're able to, we're paying attention, you know, we're coming back to the breathing, steadying our attention with the body, with the metta, you know, with just walking one foot and just that whole process of gathering our attention. It's gradually kind of steadying, and we can more of the time kind of be with our mind and our body kind of together, you know, together in kind of one place. And maybe you can sense that there's this quality of mind that may be very, very slight sometimes, and then it grows and it comes to fruition. It has a sense of steadiness, maybe gatheredness, gathering. It's like, you know, normally energies of our mind are so scattered and sort of broken up and going in this direction, that direction, thinking about this, and you know, our body and mind seem kind of be miles apart. And so here's a sense of this gathering, gatheredness of mind. So it has many, many qualities like that I mentioned, softness or even strength as well, or pliability, malleability, you know, workability. The mind begin to see how it can be changed, and we can bring up perceptions of kindness and so on. Kind of change the way the mind feels, and so it's also, it has this very, very stabilizing quality. So sometimes also think of it as like absorbent, as this image of the mind like blotting paper. There's this very thick, soft paper that can absorb water or ink, and the mind can absorb the, you know, the shocks of life, and the vagaries of the mind, you know, the distresses in the mind. And it's like the mind can be just absorb, or it becomes very vast and spacious. So again, you know, you might think, oh, I haven't got any samadhi, you know, or oh, actually, yeah, the meditation is, yeah, that sense of samadhi, it's such a lovely word, I like samadhi, is growing. So again, not to judge ourselves for having a lot or a bit, or, you know, we don't know, just to say, we can kind of know it. And again, it's sort of knowing so much with these paramis is knowing and sort of recognizing the wholesome, supportive qualities of mind. Saying, oh, so when they arise, we can recognize them, and we can know, again, kind of how to nurture that. And it's maybe, again, it's not such a big, you know, it hasn't got flashing lights around it, and it's not very, in terms of our sensing experience, you know, the hit you get from, say, you know, coffee, for example, just a very simple example, it's like, wow, or, you know, the looking at the sun on a lake, or, I don't know, you know, different things. And the kind of joy of samadhi, you know, especially at the beginning, is much quieter. It's just this kind of, maybe even a sense of ease, or oh, a little bit more space in the mind. And see, the thing is, like, maybe it's like if we pick up on that, it grows. Because it's like it grows from our kind of attention, our sort of, from our recognizing of it. So, as well as with all the other paramis, you know, samadhi can kind of support and contain and balance all the other ones. So fully developed samadhi is sort of like it contains faith and mindfulness and energy and, you know, a desire to practice. And so it's like all these other paramis, it's kind of the doorway. It's kind of, it's like the whole of the path in a way kind of opens up through that. So there are five factors of the sort of, let's see, that we might look out for as we practice. Again, this is partly is just kind of like a map, so we can look and see, just helps us, orients us. The first two are very much about what we're doing with our attention in relation to our object. Vitaka vichara in Pali. Vitaka has that kind of touching, it's like applying the attention. Okay, come back to the breath, come back to the walking, come, you know, that just be here, come to body, okay? See, touch what's happening, being in touch. And then vichara is much more this, okay, with the breath, with the body, whatever we're, you know, the metta. It's much more this sense of, okay, one way it's translated is sustained attention. It's like that being with, staying with, being able to, even just for a few moments. And that opening and sort of receptive, interested, how is that? So vitaka vichara, and you might see that sometimes when we're very scattered we have to be doing a lot of vitaka because it's just got to keep coming back. And other times actually we're steady, we're there, so we can be more this sort of exploring, being with, feeling the breath. So those first two. Then there's qualities of piti and sukha. Piti and sukha, often translated as rapture and happiness. Now, piti, it might, again, just the kind of beginnings of it are like a sense of interest. Even it's this very mild sort of sense of interest. Or we might pick up on it as just, you know, the parts of the body that just feel okay. It's like tuning into that. Actually feel okay. And my hands actually feel and I tend to it. I know the hands are quite helpful with this sometimes. Feel the hands. And then you can feel a sense of slight tingling. It's like it's quite pleasant. Maybe things going on in other parts of the body, but yeah. So there's the possibility of really attending to that, kind of resting into that. So we can tune into that sense of piti, it's like, yeah, kind of wellness or okayness. And it can also gradate into quite extreme sort of forms of rapture and sort of sense, very, very pleasurable sensations sort of going through the body or parts of the body. Anyway, it may or may not happen for you. It's quite strange. It's like, it's nice. But again, it's not that we're sort of particularly trying to make that happen. It's more like tuning into that sense of okayness and then really trusting that it will grow. And then sukha, which is the more than that sense of a kind of mental gladness, or sort of happy, like, or again, kind of feeling, there's a kind of gladness in the mind about just being. I'm just being here, being okay. Feeling the mind begin to settle down, it kind of gets happy with itself. So as the sense of distraction and dispersion and fixation kind of decreases, the mind goes, it likes that, you know. And as the body, you know, as we focus on what feels okay in the body, we can allow that, then the mind, it likes that. And it can settle more. So there's a real natural process going on here, really natural process, because it just happens just from following the breath. You know, if all of this sounds a bit like, I'm never going to remember this, and what's that bit and the other bit, just that sense of allowing a natural process and just fostering that gently, getting out of the way of it in a way. And the last one is ekagata, one-pointedness or singleness, which is this just again, you know, when it's fully developed, it's the mind that's very fully absorbed into one thing, you could say one experience, it's very together, it's like it's completely together, But even now, maybe you say, actually, yeah, I can feel that kind of sense of being somewhat gathered, say, into speaking, and maybe for you, in listening. Just, yeah, sort of, maybe there's little ripples of distraction, but actually, yeah, now that's it, don't think it's something else. It's not something other than that, yeah? That sense of just listening, that's ekagata, it's like being able to be gathered, and then as we grow, as our meditation develops, that deepens and kind of comes to fruition. So just to want to lay that out, and just so to help us, encourage us to tune into that which is okay. Now, another thing about the cultivation of, or the process of samadhi, is that it really includes our troubles and the disturbances of mind. This is a wonderful thing, that the very way that we, you know, work with our body and our mind and our heart, and you know, the things that draw us away, are actually also going to support the steadying and the deepening. Because when we relate to those things with kindness, when we actually, oh yeah, it's this, and then we, you know, we work with that, and then we learn how things are let go, it's like right there is also the samadhi being developed, because we are, our attention is being used skillfully. And then we can, yeah, it's like our mind is able to continue the process of relaxing, because we're not just in reaction, you know, we're not just kind of lost in trying to get away, trying to, you know, our usual stuff. So I think it's really, really important to see that, even though sometimes it feels difficult or, you know, unpleasant. So really to see that the samadhi both helps to us to hold and work with the difficult, but also the very way that we kind of work with the difficult is actually can be really part of the process, if we bring that mindfulness and that kindness and that developing that skillfulness and that sense of inclusivity. So the samadhi we develop as we walk, as we eat, you know, as we are in the interview groups, as we feel lovely, as we feel horrible, there is the samadhi, the steadiness that is really, really relevant for our life. You know, that is not just about sitting on the cushion and you know, feeling nice. It's really a real resource for our life. And the last thing I'd like to just point to is that as we deepen in this process of meditation and learning how to work with the mind, how to let the mind steady, you know, how to stop doing, that in that process, you could say that samatha process, that calming process, there's a lot of vipassana, there's a lot of looking into and seeing. That so much wisdom is learned in that process, that we see, oh, you know, what helps and what hinders and where we get caught and how we build something up, you know, how we build up suffering in the mind and how we can stop doing that, you know, just by shifting the attention sometimes. So there's a lot of wisdom that just in those subtle processes sometimes of working with ourselves, working with our attention, that's tremendously, it's you know, we may not see that, but the liberation process is happening right there, right here, and as we let go of yet another, you know, kind of mind storm, we've really seen as really the cultivation of wisdom then, and even a small fruition. So I hope that's not too much. Again, as with all of this, please feel free to just take what feels helpful and put the rest aside. And this afternoon, Jake will continue to pick up on some of this and hopefully clarify. So, we settle now into a period of sitting meditation. I'd really encourage you to have a sense of letting go of what I've just been talking about, whatever is stirred up in you, just noticing how the mind and the heart is affected. Just breathing with that. And then really connecting with your own presence, your body sitting here, heart, mind. Connecting with that process of meditation that you're engaged in. That you're in. And really trusting one's own capacity to learn and to deepen.